Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Joining us here in the American Family Fields of Phoenix booth is Adam McCalvey, our Milwaukee baseball insider from MLB.com and Brewers.com, as the Brewers score a couple of runs and Tyler Saladino steals one as he comes all the way around from second on a swinging bunt by Corey Spangenberg. Adam, some guys right there all in the mix of that play,
yeah,
that are all in the mix to make this 25-man roster out of camp.
I keep trying to do another one of my terrible roster predictions that are the only guarantee is that it's wrong.
See, but we love them because it gives us a lot
yeah,
of information.
Well,
it tends to make me mad, yeah, so keep doing them.
Yeah, well, I have one, and it's like ready to roll, but then yesterday he gave us the Chassin news, which wasn't like breaking news, but I mean it qualifies as breaking news for the third week of
well that's
the
one of your favorite
game.
News
it is it's
is
like
the opening
yeah
day starter though.
I thought I was very good this year about keeping my mouth shut, not making a big deal out of it. Obviously it was going to be Chassin,
yeah,
but I sort of was, you know, I thought I laid pretty low this year. And then today Baker Mayfield showing up, we sort of jumped all over that, so that prediction is coming out. But though that like last spot on the bench is always a fun thing to guess.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, if they go with 13 pitchers to open, which I think they will, I only have room for – I have Perez. I have Saladino and Spangenberg both out. They both have options.
Okay.
So,
yeah. Because it's hard to see anyway that Eric Thames isn't on the roster.
Yeah.
Spangenberg and Saladino, like you said, with options makes them very expendable, but also you can expect to see them up here at some point.
Yeah, so
this
like
year.
that's the thing about all this roster prognostication. It used to be like a big deal to, you know, see who it was going to be. Now, I mean, even the rotation, like Council told us Chassin, but he's not told us how the other guys are going to line up. Right now it's Davies the next day, Anderson the next day. But the way they're looking at it is that they have six guys that are going to make lots of starts. So they're kind of looking at, they're thinking about it like a six-man rotation in which five guys are going to be up at one time. So,
okay,
you know, that's Chassin is in, then it's Anderson, Davies, and the three kids, Peralta, Woodruff, and Burns. And then Jimmy Nelson, whenever, you
May
know.
May 1st, June 1st.
I mean, it's so fruitless to put dates on it because what it does is it upsets people. Like, last year, he got way ahead of – in the off season, going into last season,
mm-hmm,
he got way ahead of schedule. And – we wrote that because it was true, and then the shoulder said, no, wait a second. And it wasn't like there literally last season was no big blowout setback.
Right.
It was just shoulders are terrible. It's the worst injury to have, and
there's
the shoulder
so
said
there.
Slow down.
There's so much in there.
So then coming into this year, there's like Jimmy Nelson fatigue, I feel like. Where it's like people are tired of hearing about this comeback, but it's like that's the way this injury goes. So I don't think that you haven't heard them, the Brewers or Jimmy, tell us a date like you're asking. Maybe they know one. Maybe they have one in mind. But I think everyone's gotten to the point where like saying that date does nothing but cause trouble for you when that date comes and it's not happening. He's going to – the answer is the boring. He's going to be ready when he's ready.
Yeah.
So tomorrow he'll pitch again. Here, Chassin starts, and then Jimmy comes. They're hoping to get parts of three innings so he can do some of those up-downs. And then, you know, 5 days after that, he'll go again. And, you know, he's when they deem him ready, he's going to be ready. And you know, again, the flexibility with all these the way they've built this roster, there's guys with options all over the place.
True. Yep.
So there's going to be lots of back and forth again. And that's the way they managed the roster last year, and I think that's how they'll do it again.
So we were talking to David Stearns yesterday, and we were asking him about, because everybody's still concerned about pitching, they're still concerned about the Dallas Keuchel guy. And I guess his answer was pretty much, he goes, hey, we've got really three young pitchers, Burns, Peralta, who's the other guy?
Woodruff.
Woodruff.
He goes, and we're expecting for those guys to really take that That's what we're counting on, and that's probably why we're not making a move.
Well, yeah, and there, you know, and I get the angst about it because when you think about, even think about the two World Series teams last year. I mean, you're talking about David Price and Chris Sale and Clayton Kershaw and, you know, some studs, some traditional aces. And this Brewers team doesn't have that. But you look at the results, and they did it differently last year, but they got the results. So they were 11th in Major League Baseball in starting pitcher ERA. It was like 3.92. The Cubs were 10th, one spot above it, like, you know, 3.84 or something like that. Well, the Cubs have, you know, they went into last season with Darvish and Lester. And, I mean, Kyle Hendricks, I don't know if he's in that category, but Jose Quintana is probably a pretty big-name pitcher, high-dollar pitcher. And then they finished the year with Cole Hamels. So the Cubs did it in that traditional way. The Brewers did it a different way. And the result was basically the numbers worked out similarly. The Cubs gave more innings, which is notable. But, you know, there are different ways to get the outs that you need to cover a season. And, you know, right or wrong, well, I don't know. Would an ace have gotten them to the World Series in that last game? I don't know. I get why people are angst-ridden about it, but I think they have this plan, this strategy, and unless his price comes down on Keiko.
Well, and they had an ace on the mound in Game 7 of the CS, their ace, and they took him out after three outs.
Because that's how
they wanted to go.
Yeah, I mean, they made the decisions based on the schedule, what they had in the pen. You know, and Jeremy Jeffress just happened to have a bad week at a tough time.
Well, I guess my question would be, my thought would be then, what's your thoughts on him saying, talking about the three young guys being starters in this rotation.
I think
that's what he's looking at.
Yeah, and the thought is that those guys are in a period of their career where they are expected to take a step forward, and the experience they got pitching big innings late last year, even Freddy Peralta coming in after having a break, coming in the postseason and delivering in L.A. in the NLCS, they feel like these guys are better than the outside world is giving them credit for, and they think that there are innings that they want to give to these young kids. And, you know, you're watching Brandon Woodruff right now, and you know, he's up there pumping 96.
Balling.
It's going to work. Like, he's good.
He's a really good pitcher.
You know, it's this whole thing again, and it gets so boring to talk about the patience that's required to develop pitchers. You look at the best pitchers in the game, and very, very rarely are they Dontrelle Willis, where they just come up and dominate and light the world on fire and, you know, posters before they've got a full year in the big leagues. Much more often it's Tom Glavine who comes up and gets his butt kicked and learns how to be a Hall of Famer along the way. So, look, I'm not saying that any of those guys are going to be that, but you watch Brandon Woodruff, you watch Corbin Burnes and Freddy Peralta. What's notable is that the velocity is up. Freddy Peralta in particular, the velo has been talked about a lot because he throws so many fastballs, those different fastballs that he's got. He's got – if you guys need to go, like, talk to him and get show
shake
him.
His have, hand.
Yeah, shake his hand. His fingers are, like
– long.
It's like – I mean, this is a very nice thing to say about a person, but it's like E.T. hands.
Long.
Like – there's no light at the end of it.
He's got like meat hooves right there.
See? Yeah, see, I got big bear.
Yeah, but you look. I mean, people can't see this on the radio, but you got like the meaty. Like you got
meaty.
You could like
big.
I mean, that's like
hands.
A big old fillet. That's a big old ribeye there, and some fingers going on.
Right.
What Freddie has is like, you know, regular. Just a regular hand, and then these
like
long fingers.
Yeah,
he's got like So anyway, and it, I mean, there's it's part of why he spins the ball so well. How he does this, he has two forcing fastballs, different grips, one cuts. So he's a different guy, and you know it was like 90-91 last year with all this movement, and it's really and he throws 80% fastballs, and guys couldn't hit it when he threw strikes. Now he's like 94 in some of these games. They're really intrigued, I think, in what they have in Freddy Peralta. So, all that, though, like, we're talking about options.
Yes.
There's a really good chance he's the opening day guy at San Antonio. And it's going to drive people crazy because of what he's done this spring and the promise. But the idea is they're going to need – everybody needs more than five guys, a lot more. And there's going to be starts from along the way. So whoever is sort of the odd man out at the beginning, they're looking at it like – at least a six-man group with Jimmy Nelson coming.
So how long are they going to let Chase Anderson flame out before they decide to do something? You're just going to give him the rotation spot no matter how badly he may look?
No, and I asked Craig Counsell this morning because, you know, I exercised extreme patience yesterday, and normally they announce the opening day start, and we say, thank you very much. Now tell us the next four guys.
Right.
And we didn't yesterday, so I asked him this morning because of the way they're lined up. Right. I mean, like I said, it's Davies the next day, Anderson the next day. That can be altered and moved around. But I thought he might give us at least those two, and he didn't. He said, right now it's Chassin, and we haven't made other decisions. So Anderson and Davies, I think Anderson is shy of the service time he needs to decline an optional assignment. So I think they have total flexibility with the other guys in the rotation to say who are they going to send down, someone in the bullpen. I mean, there's a lot of different ways you can do it, but they only need five guys in that rotation at the beginning. And Sparky, I don't think he had a chance to say this morning Chase Anderson is in the rotation, and he didn't. I don't know if that's, you know, it does probably doesn't mean anything one way or the other. It just means he didn't say it today.
But see, this is my thing, and you tell me if you agree. The first month of the season, the way the schedule lays out, you've got the Cardinals 10 times out of 19
right.
in the first month. We can't, in my opinion, that counts to do whatever he wants, obviously, but in my opinion, you can't be running a guy out there hoping he figures it out in the first month because of how the schedule sets up.
Yeah, I think it's 17 games in April against the Cardinals and Dodgers?
Yep.
Yeah, and you got the Cubs in there, too.
Then they so I agree with you. I agree with you that there should be an urgency at the start of the season, and you know it's going to be that battle, that old battle we had last year at times. Are some games more important than other games in the regular season, or do you have to look at the season as a whole? The tendency of the manager, the general manager, the players is to think about the season as a marathon and think about it in its totality and what do we need to get the number of wins we need to get into the tournament at the end. Where I think those of us up here, you know, look watching the game through the windows, we think about the urgency and like, no, you need to win these games now. So that's a very fair point, Sparky, and I think it's worth keeping in mind as they set this. Chase Anderson's got this new delivery, and he's when we talk to him after outings, he's not comfortable with he'll go through stretches where it feels good and it feels right, and he'll kind of effortlessly get a 94 up there, and then there's times where he humps up to get 91, and he's got it. He's talking, you know, he's doing these things with. You guys have seen the stories of probably like the Nolan Ryan sort of motion where he's looking down. He's trying to get this downhill, come down off the mound. And that's good. He thinks help him keep the ball in the yard this year and just pitch better. And it's not been comfortable. So, I mean, that if it's not there at the end of camp, I mean, he needs to show it in one of these outings. Or maybe he's one of the guys that's outside looking in at the beginning. But again, He's gonna make starts from there.
He's gonna pitch in the big leagues, no doubt. Now, could you see in that sense if it doesn't feel comfortable, and when we break camp here in 12 days or whatever it is, and they say, Chase, we see it, you're getting there, but we want to let you go and figure this stuff out for another month.
Yeah.
Then do you think that he would accept that assignment?
Well, I don't think he has the service. I should know this before going on the radio.
I get what you're saying.
But I think he's shy of the service to have a say in it. I think they can option him.
Okay.
I'm pretty sure they can. And look, they did that last year with some of their main guys. Arcia got sent down. Mm-hmm. Domingo Santana got sent down. Davies was held in the minors for quite a long time. They've made decisions because the urgency is to win. I mean, the aim is to go to the World Series. It's not developing. It's not all these long-term things anymore. It's to go to the World Series. And I think they showed last year as the season went on, you know, a willingness to make those kind of tough calls, even with players that are established.
Talking with Adam McKelvey, our baseball insider here on the Wendy's Big Show.
Adam, I need a Arcia update and a Jimmy Nelson update. I know this is going to be a big year for Arcia. Maybe he's out to prove something. I don't know. But what do you have going on with Arcia?
Yeah, look, I somebody asked me in one of my award-winning mailbags, which I'm still waiting for the first award on, whether, you know, who I thought was like a player who had something to prove, the player who had the most to prove this year. And like Jimmy Nelson comes to mind right away, right? Mm-hmm. I mean, after a year away, he was such a big part of the plan a couple of years ago. Too obvious, I think. Matt Albers, I think, is too obvious. He was so bad at the end of last year, he knows it.
Just brutal.
And he's got he's another guy who's very quietly throwing the ball well this spring.
His first 20 appearances last year, he was lights out.
And if he's anything like that guy, he's going to help him. But, you know, I thought it's Orlando Arcia because he came up really young at a time when the organization was in this point where they could give him the time at the big league level to learn. And he's so good defensively, so his glove is going to give him a longer leash than other players. But, you know, you have to do something offensively. And last year it was bad enough that he got demoted. And I think that this is actually a big year for him, because now not only do you have this – the urgency is there more than ever just to be a – you know, to, again, go to the World Series. And you have some kids on the way now. Mauricio Dubon is a very good prospect, and he was set back by the knee injury last year. But they're expecting him. He had that illness in spring that further set him back, but they're thinking he's ready for the start of the year, and he'll be the shortstop at AAA. So he's a guy that I'm going to be really watching the box scores to see what he does down there, because he's has a chance to push Orlando Arcia a little bit. And, you know, you can move him to second base if you want, if you have a need. But, you know, Keston Hira then is coming, and he's a guy they're obviously committed to. So they've got some – they've got players coming on the middle infield, and then behind that, Bryce Terang, their number one draft pick last year, is a shortstop. So Arcia, I think there's urgency for him to sort of – move the ball forward as an offensive player. And look, Jimmy Nelson, like I said, he's pitching again tomorrow, and he's going to be like on like an every 5-day schedule. He's got to build up the durability, get the endurance, and yeah. So that's sort of.
And you mentioned that Matt Albers as well.
Yeah, look, I mean, he's in the bullpen. He was very bad after coming back last year from the shoulder surgery, or not surgery, but the injury. He was very good before that for the first couple months of the season. Especially at a time where Corey Knebel was down, and they, you know, the bullpen didn't really miss a beat because Albers was picking up some pretty important innings. So he is in there. I mean, he is definitely one of their middle late inning guys. And if you follow the good year bad year theory of relief pitching, which a lot of people do, he's due for a very good year because when he came back last year, it was you know pretty bad.
It was pretty
what
bad.
What do you think about this crowd here last couple of days? Isn't it something?
Yeah. Like it's they have a radio over there where you can, you know, hear communication. So there's something about there's 100 tickets left.
So for the whole stadium?
No, I mean like for today. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. Wow.
So yeah, it's the crowds are big. I don't know if that's you know spring break. You always get big crowds down here. And not usually for Brewers and Padres.
We picked the right one to have spring break down here.
But Adam, how much of it has to do, and again, I'm not down there during the offseason or whatever, but didn't they make a big deal when they made the announcement they were redoing this stadium, that they were going to become more integrated in the community, they were going to have a general manager down there year-round, they're going to do more events with inside Maryville?
Yeah, and maybe that's part of it. I think also it's just, you know, coming off a really good year. I think maybe people said, hey, let's go down to spring training and see what's going on. But the crowds have been surprisingly big. And I don't know that you attribute that. You know, the complex probably helps too.
Right. People,
locals
for sure. No
come
doubt.
To check it out.
This the biggest that you can remember the crowds being since you've been covering the team?
Oh, God, yeah. Absolutely.
Oh, so by far?
By far. Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, wow.
Yeah, normally. Well, I mean, again, you always get people down here for spring break. But we'll see in the regular season where they're at. They say sales are up. And again, the Brewers are a team where the ticket sales really matter. It's a big part of their revenue stream because they don't have it in the TV and other areas that other clubs do. So if they can start to threaten $3 million, that's a big deal for them.
Before we take a quick break, what about Josh Tomlin?
Yeah, well, every time we've talked the last couple of days about the pitching because he gave us Chacin, and Craig Counsell is talking about a 6-man rotation for 5 spots. That doesn't include Jimmy Nelson because I think they're just trying to keep him out of it right now, let him just do his work and get ready when he gets ready. And it hasn't included Josh Tomlin. So he pitched a good game in a split squad where he was on the road and we were all here.
Yep.
So I didn't see that. When I've seen him, he's not been effective. He did a lot of work at a place called Driveline where they do all the studies, the slow motion cameras, and where they study your spin and all those. The type of, you know, data. They get all kinds of data on your pitching. So he was working on some things. But, you know, I think to make the club as a non-roster guy, when the roster's full and you have a pretty good team, so it's not like there's a lot of dead spots on your 40-man, you got to be really, really good in spring training. Wade Miley last year was really, really good. Tomlin hasn't stood out.
What about that Jake Patryka, 36? You got a chance?
He's got a chance, Leroy, because, you know, with Jeremy Jeffress down, I mean, it's looking unlikely for opening day. They're not saying no to that. They're not ruling out opening day. But, I mean, it's just coming hot. So he's got to still get back on a mound, and that's not going to happen until next week. Mm-hmm. I think the guy, his name, we've learned to pronounce his name Patryshka.
Patryshka. Yep. Oh, okay.
Yeah, so I think he's got a good chance. A heavy sinker.
Yeah.
We'll have to get to the etymology of the name. I did learn that Lucas Ursig, I learned the story behind his family name. His father emigrated from Slovakia.
Really cool conversations
Slovakia.
With him.
Slovakia.
Oh, nice. He's a dude. Mm-hmm. You know, he's doesn't get as much play because here everybody's about Keston Hira and Corey Ray, pretty flashy players. Mm-hmm. Some of their pitchers who've come up. But Ursig is a player and kind of like, you know, changed his off-the-field habits in the last bunch of years. And
yep, big time.
Just certain guys just look like ball players, and he's one of them.
Yeah. And when I was talking to him, we were talking to him, and I just said, hey, man, so how did you come up with the no batting gloves? He's like, just didn't have a whole lot of money growing up. so I started using
sometimes the simplest answer.
Right.
Yeah. Makes sense.
And just like that, he's like, I just learned how to hit it, and I just I like how it feels, the wood by my hands. It works out. Adam, we appreciate the time, man.
Sure,
thanks
guys.
Thank you, Adam.
I'm
going to
go play some catch with Baker Mayfield up there.
Oh, right. Awesome. Yeah. You know,
how did get Baker Mayfield down there, but can't get my boy Gary down there to the clubhouse? I need to make some phone calls.
Is Adam there? Did he leave already?
Yeah. No, he's still here.
Hey, Adam, Gary Ellerson believes he can hit 10 homers out of 30 pitchers in batting practice.
Oh, he can do that.
Really?
I believe he can do it. He can do that.
So can you get that done?
When was that time you hit with a wood bat?
Oh, hit about 1978.
Yeah. You know, if we dig up
78.
If we dig up an aluminum bat, I like your chances.
Yeah, no, you know, I'm going to take batting practice over second base because.
Oh, I see.
Okay.
Second base.
You know, okay. Maybe I'd give you the one third then. Yeah, okay.
As a kid, I played Little League, but never like good. So I never did any wood bat work. And I remember my first job in the Northern League in Madison was my first job in baseball. And when the team would go on the road, we'd go hit. We'd go grab the equipment and, like,
use
the guys' bats. God forbid we broke a bat, we'd probably, like, that's a month's pay for us.
It is.
And it was, like, the best experience to learn how hard it is to hit with a
wooden bat. Oh, man, it's crazy. Yeah. Yeah, it is different. Those aluminum bats made me feel like I was really
Hey, Steve, how's Logie hitting with the wood bat?
He's hitting good. Yeah, he's hitting good. And he can tell a huge difference when he goes back to the other bat.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, nice. Big time. But, you know, they always tell you to practice with a wood bat because if you can hit with a wood bat, you'll kill it with an aluminum bat.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.